Good morning.
I just, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here out of the book of John to start out with. Chapter 15. And, the one I want to read is 20, but I'll start in 19. John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. The world hates you. And then 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now this is Jesus speaking to the apostles and disciples. But that kind of, that pertains to us too, especially, I think, throughout the ages. Anybody serving Jesus in many lands around the world have always been persecuted. And we've been fortunate in this country. We just take a verbal criticisms, things like that. In this country, that's our persecution, but it could get worse. And I read these scriptures for this purpose, because as I was getting ready this morning, seen a little thing on the news where it said the New York Times published an article. That's the New York Times, that churches rushed to open amid increase in cases because of church openings. I thought, whoa, okay, what's this about? But then I've seen a further story on that story, where it said they based their whole article on an increase in 650 cases of COVID-19 in, that could be specifically related to church gatherings. But that was in 40 states. 650 cases in 40 states. No mention of protests in many, many, many cities throughout the United States. Beaches crowded throughout all coasts and all lakes and everywhere because of the hot weather. No mention of the increase because of that. But they had to make a big article about church rushing to open an increase in cases, but only 650 in 40 states could they identify. So that is a form of persecution. Make no mistake about it. And I don't think it's going to ever get any better. I think it's always going to happen that way. And it's got to be worse throughout the world because of this. Clamping down. And we understand where this persecution comes from. You know, you might say it's government officials, health officials, whatever, but it comes directly from the enemy, from Satan himself. He loves to close down churches. He loves rioting in the streets, but churches closed up. So be aware of that. We, you know, if there's any doubt that we are living in the end of the end times, I think that's one indication, especially in the United States. You go back, what, January, February, would you believe that we're in, this country is in the state that it's in? Would you have believed it then? Or, I seen it was Vermont, I think it was. They put a big, Black Lives Matter across the street, painted the street, but they would not put the American flag next to it. That wasn't allowed. And I thought, boy, are things turned around in this country. And yes, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. And is there a change that needs to come across this nation as far as relationship? Yes. Yes, nervous, absolutely, and, but boy, it's taken it beyond, you know, it's unfortunate. But I think we can all agree, I say the only answer to all that is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other answer.
No other answer.
You know, only the Lord Jesus changes hearts, softens hearts.
Yeah.
And violence, all this other thing, hardens positions, hardens hearts. So anybody espousing the Lord Jesus is mocked. And I think it'll be more and more so. But I pray the church, the bride, stay strong. Stay strong and resolute in its biblical mandate to preach the gospel, to bring the word of the Lord Jesus to everybody. And that's the only hope. Any hope of people or nations or the world is the Lord Jesus. So, Father God, we are thankful. We're thankful that, number one, that you loved us so much that you sent us, Jesus. We're thankful for this country, the United States of America, where persecution is relatively light. It amounts to verbal attacks, sometimes burning of a church, sometimes physical attacks, but nothing like a lot of your saints are enduring around the world and have endured around the world for centuries. So, but Father God, we know the answer to all these things in the United States and around the world is your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So I pray your church be resolute and strong and teaching and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because that's the good news. That's the good news. That's what every man, woman, and child needs to hear. And I pray, Lord, that your church stay strong and preach that word. Preach about Jesus, in whose name I pray and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to do things a little different than the Lord wanted me to do today, so we're going to take it in two different realms. He gave me Psalms 119. Starting in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have retained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if you would turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, starting with verse 10. Oh, I take that. I'm sorry. Let's start with verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the glass. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one. and come away. Lo, winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. Time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle doves is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Karen. I saw this sitting on the wall in the back. It says, when the lion roars, all of hell will fear, and every chain will fall off. When the lion roars, heaven shouts the praise and the victory of the cross. When the lion of Judah roars, the lion of Judah roars, the lion of Judah roars, we're to be ready for war. We're to be prepared. We're all ready to go when we hear him say, come, let's go. And it says, hear the sound of war. God will fight for you when Zion starts to roar. Roar, children of Zion. Roar, children of Zion. He is a man of war. He is a man of war, and he is mighty. This was a song that was given to someone in 1993. It says, when we praise, when we shout, when we use his name, the lion roars. Isn't that powerful? I love that. That was written by Pastor Cindy Markham in 1993. And the picture that I have is the bride being ready, the bride having her combat boots on. Yes, the bride having her pretty little dress on and everything, but underneath, this is the time for war. And I really want you to hear that in the spirit. Did you get it? Did you hear it? When we praise him, when we send our love, the Lion of Judah roars. That's why we have this up here. That's the tribe that most of us belong to. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. You want to go to it? I'm going to start it again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Ephesians 5, 26, 27. What this is saying is, hey, you know, the lion, he's on the staircase and he's coming down and he says, hey, bride, hey, church, wake up. Are you roaring? I'm waiting for you. And I love that. And he's expecting us to be unblemished. And that can only be by the Holy Spirit. So it says, when the lion roars, we're right there. When the lion roars, all of hell, every chain will fall off. When the lion roars, heaven shouts the praise and the victory of the cross. You know, hey, thank goodness for the cross. The cross, his blood. We can't defeat the enemy whatsoever in ourselves, but we can in him. This is what the Lord has placed on my heart, such a burning, that the bride needs to ignite herself with the fire of love, the fire of the bridegroom. And you know, it sounds so simple, but it's not. We have to be so in love with him. Did you know that there is a battle for your life? I don't care. It's kind of like I was telling my grandsons. It's like Satan isn't interested in any particular age. He's coming to take you up. He's coming to destroy you. But greater is you, that you have Jesus inside of you, and you know that power. You know that power. According to Jesus in John 10:10, There is a spiritual enemy whose goal is what it says in the word, to kill you, to steal, and to destroy your life. Now, you might not think so, but that's what the word of God says. So, I don't know about you, but I kind of did some bookmark here. In John 10:10, I want to read it right out of this as the New King James. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But no one tells the rest of it. It says, I have come. That's Jesus has come, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We can have abundant life because Jesus died for you and me. And I always like to say this. There is so much craziness that's going on right now. It is so amazing to me how many people want to shut down churches, as Joe said. That is unbelievable. They don't want the word to go out. I told you that I received off of Facebook a comment from Iraq and Iran, saying, hey, don't tell my people that they can have victory, but I'm going to keep on saying that they can have victory the more they turn their life and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. It's not a war against flesh and blood. Rather, it's a spiritual war where Satan wants to destroy the good life that God has given to you. I told my little grandson, I said, Owen, I said, Grandma wants you to know you have to put on the full armor of God every day. And that's what I said to him. And then afterwards, I thought, I wonder if he even knew what Grandma was talking about. And he says, oh, yes, Grandma, I do that. How precious was that? We need to put on the full armor of God. God wants to give you peace, and Satan wants to give you stress. He wants to give you conflict. He wants to give you toil. And truthfully, Satan knows his time is done because he sent all his demons of hell out there to rile you up a little bit more and a little bit more because he knows that Jesus is coming soon. I have never in my life ever felt his coming closer and closer. So I have an urgency that when I saw this, this isn't the one that was on your bulletin, but up here when I saw that bride with all those faces, we should have a ton of faces. Lord, who do you want me to war for? Whose soul, Lord God? And truthfully, all souls are important. But maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a young person. But we should care about where they're going. And there's so much false teaching out there that you could pray for the dead. You can't pray for the dead. You're either going to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life, or you're going to go to hell. And only God himself determines where we're going. But it is so simple. It is so hard for me to understand why people just don't want to give their life to the Lord. So I don't know who I'm speaking to on Facebook, and I'm telling you, I don't care how many times you've blown it. I'm telling you right now, God is saying, if you will just give me your life and turn away from what you're doing, he has open arms for you. You don't have to be approved by man. You don't have to be approved by anybody. You only have to be approved by Jesus, and who helps you to be able to do that, whether it's like in a room or any place, or you could be driving your car, whatever. You just say, Jesus, come into my heart. And I feel such an urgency in that. Come into my heart. Cleanse my heart. It's that simple. Help me, Jesus. I know I've blown it. And truthfully, man will say all kinds of bad things about you, negative things about you, but I'm telling you right now, the love of Jesus, his arms opens wide, and he just holds you. You don't even have to say anything. I don't know if you even picked up on that last song. That last song was so powerful to me because it said he has a sparkle like a fire in his eyes, a love in his eyes for each one of us. How powerful is that? That we don't have to prove ourselves, he knows us. Another thing I wrote down here is that God offers health and Satan brings sickness. Now, do Christian people get sick? Absolutely. You know, they might not have even done anything wrong. They're just truly under attack. And last Sunday, I was so bad, my leg hurt me so bad that I could barely walk. And Vicki came up here and she was praising with the flags, warring with the flags, and people were praying for my leg. And truthfully, all week long, I didn't have the pain that I had before in it. And I thank the Lord for it, but I thank God that we have a church that's here for you. We have a church that's willing to war. We have a church that's here that's willing to pray for you. And it's not just saying, hey, Lord, bless me with this. Hey, you know, I gave my tithe, so bless me for this. We're not here for the blessing. We're here to say, Lord, I just want to worship you because you're so worthy to be worshiped. Amen?
Amen?
You see, the bride knows him.
That's right.
She's been in his presence many, many times. And I think the important thing for all of us to understand is the more we keep on coming into his presence, the more he shows us, you know, what he kind of wants to work on in us. Like, you know, hey, you know, when people think they got it all together, they don't. None of us do. But the more we come before him, the more he touches us, the more he sets us free. Our enemy has always been defeated by the finished work of the cross. Go to the cross. Go to the cross. Jesus conquered death and hell and made a show of Satan publicly. If you stay full of the word, if you have faith, and if you can have joy for your strength, you will have the victory. Because that's the hope that he gives. We're to have victory in Jesus Christ because he's conquered everything. Some of you in here, maybe some on Facebook, maybe some on podcast, you're going through the storm. You're going through a hard time. But I just want you to know from my heart that God is greater.
Amen.
God is greater. And the more you depend on him, the more he's going to take you through. It is about time you discover the love of Jesus. I'm telling you, as you've heard me from this pulpit before, I came from loving mom and dad. I really did. My parents always encouraged. I was blessed, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what? I used to feel guilty about that. And the pastor that we were underneath, she says, Marie, don't apologize for that. Just allow the love that your parents gave to you, let it flood out of you. Let it come out of you. Let people know it's okay. And you know what? Every time, I had my grandbabies here for a whole week, and I'm telling you, I'd hug them up. I'd give them a kiss, and they'd kind of, ooh, Grandma, you know. I just would hug them up. I'd say, Grandma loves you. Grandma loves you. And it's so precious because my leg was bothering me yesterday, and I was coming up the steps, and my little grandson, Owen, he goes, Grandma, can you make it? Grandma, are you okay? Can I help you? There was no waste. He's like 11 years old, and, you know, he'd go tumbling down the steps with me. But you know what? That encouraged me. It made me feel like, wow, he really loved me. You know, I can take another step. I can keep on going. I can keep on going. And he waited right there at the top to be sure that I got up at the top of the steps, you know. And he goes, you know, Grandma, I love you. And I said, you know what, Owen? Grandma loves you too. And I just want you to know why I'm giving you that as an example, because he is just turned 11 years of age. But the love that came out of his heart towards me was so wonderful, was so passionate. It was so real. It wasn't fake. And I want you to know that the love of Jesus is real like that. The love of Jesus, he'll put his arms around you when you're tired. He'll put your arms around you when you don't know what to do. And sometimes, I don't know, is it's like, you know, you can make one more step, just one more step, Lord, I can go one more step. You know, love really encourages you that you can do it. Are you hearing me this morning? It's powerful. Love is powerful. And one of the other things I put down here is when you discover that love of Jesus, it doesn't make any difference what anybody says about you. You know, I'm really serious. I've just met so many people, and they're worried. There's nothing wrong in getting your hair fixed up and having a nice pair of clothes. I'm not talking about that. And trying to fit in and kind of all that. I understand all that. And I understand peer pressure probably more than most people in this room. I know the peer pressure that kids go through. But I really want you to hear this from me. You do not have to worry about what your friends say about you. Because if Jesus loves you, that's the most important thing and something to hold on to that'll take you from junior high to high school, through college, and through life, knowing that you are loved by Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's powerful to me. One of the things that the Lord has placed on my heart was last Sunday, I got to talk about the anointing, and the anointings were powerful. I go home, and Chuck Pierce is talking about anointings. And I'm listening to different prophets that were talking about anointings, the fresh anointings that need to be upon us. You know, unless you're the bride of Christ, unless you're taking time to get in the presence, you don't know anything about those anointings. Those anointings equip you. Like I can come here and I can prepare this lesson, but when it's anointed, it's like you go home or you sit back in our fellowship area or whatever and you go, wait, you know, that was a good message. I got something out of it. Had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the anointing that was on the message. I want the anointing to be upon this message for you today, that God is preparing his army. And it's just not older people. It's young, and it's the middle-aged people, or whatever they want to call themselves, and the older people all coming together. And I've always been excited about that, and I've always been excited about the weddings. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gives me this vision of the bride who had, like, gold in her gown. And what I found was the bride, the more she kept on getting in his presence, the more she became purified. And gold is symbolic of the purity of God. Isn't that powerful? So then I saw this picture and I thought, wow, look at the golden city, whether it looks like that or not. But and you can see the glory and you can see his golden robe and you can see gold on her crown and you can see gold. And, you know, it's like the more we press in to the word, the more we press into the Lord, the more we press into his presence, the more he purifies us. He changes us. He gives us a heart of compassion for other people. You know, it's easier to tell people where to fly or what you think of them or whatever. I mean, let's get real here. That's an easy thing. Or be critical of them. But you know what I found? Is that when you encourage someone, when you speak words of life to someone, it sets them free because you're so full of love. Because the love of Jesus is supposed to be our heart. We're supposed to have his heart of love. That's powerful. And anyways, I was sharing this. I said, Karen, I says, I'm just bursting inside about the bride. And I said, you know, one of the things that the Lord was showing me, and I never realized it up here. I don't know why. I know that the musicians always went before the army. I know the shofars are blowing. I know people have banners. I've seen it. I've seen the banner of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I've seen the banner of him as Yeshua. I've seen this. It's been in my body so long that I just kind of want to burst. I've seen, like I said, when we did the shields, and it's got the Lion of the Tribe of Judah on it, we need to start moving. We need to start praying. We need to start loving. You know, until you get before him, you don't know what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
And I'm hoping to see that on fire, especially here in the fall time. Because you know what the Lord showed me? I was sitting, honestly, I was preparing this and the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, you know that my bride is the head of the army? I said, oh, no, Lord. The band goes first, the musicians go first. And can you imagine telling this to the Lord? And he goes, you're not listening to me. He says, my bride that is ready, who has her combat boots on, who's winning people, who's talking to people, loving people, bringing them into the kingdom, they're ahead of the army, and the army is behind her. Hey, I don't know about you. This ain't time to be sleeping. This ain't time to be slumber. This ain't time to say, hey, I wish I would have put the quilt back on and slept another time. I'm telling you right now, the church is getting so very, like, oh, whatever. And I'm telling you right now that this is the time to rise up and say that he's coming. We need to be prepared. We need to be confident in who we are. We need to be brave. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. And it is really time for believers to experience the true demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me this morning?
Amen.
The Spirit of God, His glory, all you have to do is walk by the enemy and it is down. It can't work. It can't do anything. And in Psalms 40, verse 3, it says, He put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. And many will see, and many will fear. But those that put their trust in the Lord will be successful. Amen. So I ask you in Psalms 144, 1, are you rising up or are you just doing the same old, same old? I get so mad sometimes, just for lack of words. I don't usually get mad, but it was like, Lord, I can just hear you. I can see you coming down the steps. I can see you, you know, wanting your church to be ready, your church to be prepared. And to my amazement, they're sleeping. They haven't even made them first no more. It's like, I can remember when I first accepted the Lord, I was so excited. It was like I couldn't miss church. I couldn't miss being around my friends. I couldn't miss doing this and doing that. I'm just telling you right now that it was really, really knowing him. And I knew him at such a young age. And you know what? The hardest part for me is I said, Lord, I got this wrong with me. I got that wrong with me. And you know what? It's like we have to get ready even health-wise. We have to be able to put on that full armor of God and have the strength of the Lord. We can't have, you know, a leg that hurts like my leg hurts, or I can't not have no eyesight because I don't know where to go. I'm just telling you right now, we need to say, no way, Satan. You don't have no power and authority over me. You just don't have, you can't bring sickness upon me. How dare you? We need to get bold like that.
Amen.
We need to war like that.
Amen.
We need to speak it out. God is the very essence of love. That's what I want to leave with you today. He is the very essence of love. And I said, Lord, well, where is that in the scripture? And he gave me 1 John 4, 7 through 10. He has always been love. Even before he created you and me, he has always sought to have a close relationship with mankind. Can you imagine this mighty God who has created this powerful universe, the planets? Every time, like we had a bonfire and with our family, and we were looking at all the stars, and they were magnificent. And he wants to spend time with you and me, and you know what? And we don't do it. We don't spend time with them. We're too busy. And what the Lord kept on saying to me is that we need to love him so much that we desire him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, that we desire to be with him. And the other thing that I wrote down here is that the Holy Spirit reveals this promise. And he speaks of Jesus when he's talking to the church, that we are to be prepared. I can't do that for you. I can just tell you. You know, I'm thankful, you know, Joe kind of looks at me like he does, and Joe kind of keeps up with all the political stuff. I kind of keep up with, you know, what's going on in the prophetic realm. That's kind of who I am. And I just watch this, and we're trying to get you ready. We're trying to get this church ready. We might be small, but we can be powerful in Him. We can go and speak a word of encouragement to someone. We might, I'll never forget, I kind of chuckled. I remember pulling through McDonald's. This might sound kind of weird, and someone paid for my meal, but all I had was a Coke. So I said to the gal, or a Diet Coke, I said to the gal, well, maybe I'll get a meal since someone's paying for it. You know, have you ever just paid for somebody else? Have you ever treated someone else? Well, you know, I just want you to know that the Lord treats us. He treats us by giving us His love. You don't have to. You really don't. But He wanted to. He wanted to go to the cross. You know why? So we could be with Him forever. I don't know about you, but this picture excites me. I want to be up there. I want to be ready. I want to bring as many people as I can to the kingdom. And I have to stand before Him for what I tell you. So I'm telling you from the Holy Spirit, get ready. It's no time to play church.
Right.
You got a message to give, you give it. So let's get prepared. Let's get on those combat boots. Right. I remember in my college days, we always wear what I call combat boots. They were the boots that took forever to tie up, and, you know, oh my gosh, they're the most uncomfortable things. But what was so amazing was they fit our feet. And that's important, because when you wear combat boots, they're shoes that are built just for each one of you. Where you're going in life. And I heard that from the Holy Spirit, so powerful. Said, God proved He is love by sending Jesus. That's the message. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. I was listening to Todd White, and I don't know if you're listening to me, Todd White, but I listened to you, and it broke my heart. This guy was asking him all kinds of messages and what happened to him. He was so much looking for the love of the Lord. When I listened to his testimony and how many people he's brought to the Lord, he was a Marine, screwed around. Still didn't grow up as a Marine. Then he took drugs. Then he ended up being with this woman and having a child, and he didn't feel he needed to marry her yet. Well, God changed that. God ended up, they had been married for, I think it was 14 years now. He took drugs. He had been in prison. I don't know, when a person leaves the Marines and stuff and runs away, they go AWOL. And, you know, he was talking about all the things that could have happened to him. He even went to prison. And he talked about all these things that happened in his life. And I hope, Todd White, that I'm saying it all right. But I just want, there's a message in this. And the message is this. That when he got to know Jesus, his heart was changed. His life was changed. And what was really amazing is he went to the wrong drug dealer. This guy was shooting bullets, and the bullets went past him, and he could hold up, and he could literally see those bullet holes. He knew that God had protected him. And I want to just take 5 minutes to tell you this. That when he gave his heart to the Lord, you know, God is a God of second chances. And there are some of us, maybe we didn't go through something like that, but there are many people that the Lord has delivered, and those people have a message for the people that are listening today, that Jesus loves them, and he can change your life for the good. And that's what Todd talked about, and I was amazed. And when I look at him, going, walking on the streets and setting people free and helping people, it was because the Holy Spirit goes with them. Well, I want you to know the Holy Spirit goes with you too. All you got to do is get with the Holy Spirit, spend time with the Holy Spirit, and ask them strategies. How do you want me to do this? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And I really think that it is so important for you to know how loved you are. And take that with you today. Take that with you. Spend time in His presence and ask Him which way you're to go. That's what the message I have for you. He's coming. There's people you got to reach. There's people you got to touch. There's people, and I love this right here. And I don't even, you know, it's been on the wall for like 8 years here. That's the first time I noticed it. I put it up, but I forgot about it. When the lion roars, all hell will fear and every chain will break off. Well, if you know that deep down inside of you who you are, when the lion roars, heaven shouts the praises and the victory of the cross. Roar, lion of Judah. Roar, lion of Judah. Hear the sound of war when the saints in praise and the shouting going forth. Now, you might not get it, but when you do praise and worship, that's a spiritual warfare weapon. Because Satan can't dwell when you're praising the Lord.
Amen.
So if the musicians are playing and battling and how whatever, and marching forth, and the bride is going with them, the enemy's got to flee. It's got to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. That's so powerful to me. Come on! It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all we have to do is shout. We might not even remember a scriptural verse when we're standing before some demon of hell. But I'm going to tell you right now, just say the name of Jesus. And it's got to flee. I don't know about you, but I just really feel that deep down inside. I'm just so gung-ho about this that I want to see people going forth with the anointing of the Lord, telling the good news about Jesus. And all the things that people went through, give it to Him. Repent. Move on. Let's go. We got a lot to do. And that's not just here in the United States, that's all over the nation. You should be marching, you should be praying, you should be lifting up the President of the United States, you should be lifting up his cabinet, you should be crying out for him. I saw a picture on Facebook of President Trump and he was crying. And I just wept. There's so much wickedness that is going on when they don't want churches to be involved. They don't want you to mention Jesus. Facebook right there, they don't want you to mention about the name of Jesus. They cut off so much. I know that Joyce Meyer's got her whole message taken off from Facebook because she was encouraging people. I'm telling you, you have no idea how the media is censoring things out there. But I'm going to use this Facebook and podcasts as long as I can. We need to stand for Jesus. He is the answer. Come on, just give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's all about him. I thought every song that we did talked about him. Talked about him and the bride. So I want to encourage you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you will help us to get ready. You will help us to prepare. You will help us to know who we are in Jesus Christ, Father, that we can put on that full armor, Father, that we can come with your love. We can come with your name. We can talk about the cross and we can talk about victory. So, Father, I ask that it be sealed right now today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.